This said special music, I thought y'all were fixing to be in for a trip.
You thought you were saying.
They have banned me from singing in the church though, ladies and gentlemen. So we're just going to move straight to our message today. God is good, amen? Praise God. What a wonderful time of worship. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Tanner. Thank you all that were up here. Thank you so much for a wonderful time of worship. This morning, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians. And we are going to look at what I would like to call a complete picture of Jesus. And while you're turning, let me tell you a little story about a pastor who went and had breakfast with an old farmer one morning. And this old farmer, he had just come in from feeding the chickens, and he had his bib overalls on, and pastor said, hey farmer, you want to lead us in grace this morning? And farmer said, absolutely, let's bow our heads. And so they bowed their heads, and the farmer started off, and he said, Lord, you know I hate buttermilk. And the preacher kind of opened up one eye and looked at him. Then the farmer kept going, and he said, Lord, you know, I hate lard. Well, the preacher was kind of growing concerned, and so was everybody else. So everybody had one open eye on that one. And then he said, Lord, and you also know that I hate the taste of white flour, and I hate the taste of butter by itself. Now everybody's eyes were open, and everybody was looking at the farmer because they were wondering what he was fixing to say in this prayer. And then he said, but Lord, when you mix them all together and you bake them up, I sure do love some buttermilk biscuits. And he said, so Lord, when things come up that we don't like, and when life gets hard, and when we don't understand what you're exactly saying to us, give us a little patience and help us relax and wait until you're done mixing. Because whatever you have in store for us is going to be sure far greater than those biscuits. Amen. You know, within that prayer, we can find a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom to intake, because life sometimes will seem like it's beating you up. Sometimes it seems like circumstances and situations that we're placed in life, they won't let up. They're relentless. Sometimes it seems like there's no way to move forward. Sometimes it seems like that the things that we're having to deal with are so concerning to us that they confuse us. But I got one thing to say to you this morning. There is nothing confusing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? There is nothing confusing about who our Lord is and what exactly the gospel of Christ is. And we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at who Jesus actually is this morning. I love the book of Colossians. We're actually studying the book of Colossians on Sunday night. I love this book. Been studying it for quite a while. And this one passage of scripture God has just put in my head, and He will not let it go. So I can't wait to see what is going to happen this morning as we look at this book. However, what Paul is actually trying to do as he opens up this letter to the book, to the church of Colossae, is he is trying to deal with a bunch of heresy, a bunch of false teachers who have gone in and started to add things to the gospel, add something to the truth. And one thing is for certain, our gospel is sufficient. There's nothing that needs to be added to the gospel of Jesus Christ. All we need is what we have. Nothing needs to be added to it. One of the heretical teachings that Paul was actually dealing with is they were saying that the works of salvation, the works of the law were vital for salvation, which we know is not true, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are saved by grace through faith, not of good works, so that no man can boast. We also know that Paul wrote to the Romans, where he said in chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is nothing that needs to be added to that. Amen? Absolutely nothing. To the church at Galatia, he wrote, yet we know that a person is not justified by works, of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, so that we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will ever be justified. Not only was he dealing with that heretical teaching that works were necessary to get you into heaven, he was also dealing with the heretical teaching, such as some mysticism that promoted Jesus as a higher being, but they said that he was not God. Well, we're going to debunk that mess this morning. We're not going to have that. And the reason why this is so important for us today is because just as people were trying to infiltrate the Colossian church back then, people are trying to infiltrate the Christian church today. And what Paul found was this heresy was hurting the gospel. And it was hurting the church. It was offensive to the gospel. I find some of the things that are going on in the name of Jesus offensive to the gospel today as well. Starting with the Word of Faith movement, to the prosperity gospel, to anybody who's trying to teach some positive self-help stuff from the pulpit in the name of Jesus that is not the truth of the gospel. I believe that the truth of the gospel shall be preached from every pulpit, and if they're not preaching the truth of the gospel from the pulpit, they need to get out of the pulpit. So many preachers nowadays are scared to preach the truth because they don't want to step on anybody's toes or they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But the truth is the truth, and the gospel brings conviction. Amen? If you're not convicted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's definitely something wrong. We don't need any help with the truth because the truth is the truth. What I find offensive today is I find that people are trying to promote an Americanized gospel. I find that people are trying to promote a culturally cool gospel, that Jesus will love whatever is culturally appropriate. That is wrong. Jesus will not love whatever is culturally appropriate. He will love the people. But he won't love what is culturally appropriate. I don't care who's promoting it, whether it's Joel or Oprah or whoever tries to promote it in Hollywood. Jesus Christ promotes the truth. Amen? And today we've got to know that we are sticking with the truth. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ always has been and always will be forever without fail. The culture cannot change it, no matter what Hollywood says. Jesus Christ and his gospel are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You think about the book that you hold in your hand that contains the gospel of Jesus Christ. This book is God's miraculous love story to his church. Amen? There are 66 books right here found that were written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors in 3 different languages in all types of subjects with one central theme, and his name was Jesus Christ. Every bit of it points to Jesus. Every bit of the Word of God points to Jesus. The historical books, they reference him. The prophetic books, they point to him. The Gospels, they tell about his life. The rest of the New Testament tells you how to live for him. And Revelation says that he is coming back. That's the truth, and we're sticking with the truth this morning. And found within this truth is the book of Colossians, which brings some meat. I love the letters that Paul writes to these churches because they are so much meat. They have so much meat that help nourish us in our spirit. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul starts off with a bang by greeting the believers there. And not only greeting the believers there, expressing thanks for their faith. And he goes straight to who Jesus is. And I have been pondering this passage for weeks and for months, and God just would not let it go. He kept hitting me with this. If you look in verse 13 says that the Father has rescued us. Turn to your neighbor and say, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him, talking about Jesus Christ, his Son, we have redemption. Say the word redemption. and the forgiveness of sins. We know what forgiveness means, but what does redemption mean? Redemption means that there is some incalculable price that has been paid for our deliverance. Redemption means that something has been given for your debt. And your debt has been paid by none other than the blood, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your debt of sin was paid on the cross at Calvary with the blood of our Savior. And we get to verse 15 in Colossians chapter 1. And some scholars say that this was a poem. Some say that it was an early hymn that expressed the supremacy of Jesus Christ as the Creator. Expressed the supremacy of Him as the Redeemer. And then Paul uses the next 9 verses to tell us who Jesus is. And at the same time he was telling us who Jesus is, he was countering those false heretical teachings by those false teachers. I love what he does. Before he talks about anything else in this letter, he focuses on the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth is the truth. And I want you to listen to me. The truth is not relative. The truth cannot change just because times change or the culture changes. The truth is the truth. The truth is not relevant, it is relevant. The Apostle John, he said, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth is truth, and it doesn't change no matter what we think. It doesn't change no matter what we believe. Max Anders said this, he said, when we don't know the truth, we are vulnerable to ignorance and deception. And contrary to the American proverb, ignorance is not bliss. It often yields abject misery. Kind of like the guy who jumped off a building. And when he jumped off the building, he was all broken up. The ambulance came and got him, took him to the emergency room, and the doctor looked at him and he said, "Why did you jump off the building?" The guy said, "Well, I thought if I flapped my arms like the birds flap their wings, that I would be able to fly too." Well, he believed it was true that if he flapped his wings, that he would fly too. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. If you flap your arms, you're not going to fly. Am I right?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what we believe. Truth does not care what you believe. Truth does not care what you think about it. Regardless of whether we like it or want it to be true, truth is reality. And it cannot be denied. And to act contrary to reality is to open ourselves up to a lot of unpleasantness. The truth is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And the truth is defined by the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look at the great truth about our Savior. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through verse 23. And I'm going to read this whole thing. This is a little bit longer than what I normally would like to read. However, I do feel like it is important that we, the church, the body of Christ, read this truth together. Verse 15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn," say firstborn, "over all creation, for by Him all things," say all things, "were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." The Christian Standard Version of this Bible says, "And by Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence." Say the word preeminence. Preeminence means that He has first place in everything. "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works," which are evil actions, "yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh," or by His physical body, through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. This, brothers and sisters, is who our Savior is. And today I want to focus on three points that I see or I feel that the Holy Spirit is pushing forward here. And they are that all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. That Jesus is the one who holds all things together. And because of that, he should have first place in everything. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is that everything was created by Jesus and were created for Jesus. The first part of verse 16 says, everything was created by him. And then at the end of verse 16, it says, all things have been created through him and for him. Well, Brother Chris, you're not right, because everything was created by God. It wasn't created by Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. I want to get that out of the way real quick for everybody who doesn't know, and I hope that I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Go back to verse 15. In verse 15 it says, for he, Jesus, say the word Jesus. Jesus. Say the name Jesus. Jesus. That is the greatest name I know, amen? Amen. Praise God Almighty. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn over all creation doesn't mean that God created the Son. It means that he existed before anything was ever created. He existed before anything ever existed in this world. Jesus Christ is how we relate to God the Father. He is the visible, physical person of God. Jesus was God on foot, strapped on the sandals of humanity, walked in the dust of the earth. Jesus Christ is God. We believe in a Trinitarian God, amen? We believe that we have one eternal God who is the creator of all, who exists in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God, amen? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. The Apostle John also wrote, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son of God, who himself is God. In 1 John, he wrote this, and we know the Son of God has come and has given understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ, who is the true God and the eternal life. In the red letters of Jesus Christ himself, he said, I and the Father are one. He turned around and he told Philip, he said, you have seen me, so you have also seen the Father. Jesus is God. He is the creator. And all things were created by him, and all things were created for him. Have mercy. Praise God. Paul asserted the supremacy of Jesus Christ over all creation by saying that they were all created for him and all created by him. Amen? I want you to think about it this way. The Apostle Paul, he was painting a picture, and he wanted to stretch the imagination of his readers' minds by having them to think about the invisible things, like the angelic realm, which we cannot see. And when Christians ponder these things, or ponder the things of creation, like galaxies upon galaxies, and unexplored oceans, and the complexity of the human body, and we're only able to understand those things through the majesty and the power of Jesus. All creation exists to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. I didn't hear that. Amen. All creation exist to bring glory to Jesus Christ. If you don't remember one thing I say today, remember that everything exists to bring glory to Jesus. John Piper said this. He said, all that came into being exists for Christ. That is, it exists to display the greatness of Christ. Nothing, and I mean nothing in the universe, exists for its own sake. Everything from the bottom of the ocean to the top of the mountains, from the smallest particle to the biggest star, from the most boring, the most fascinating science, from the ugliest cockroach to the most beautiful human, from the greatest saint to the most wicked genocidal dictator. Everything that exists, exists to make the greatness of Christ Jesus more fully known, including you and the person that you can't stand. Ooh. Not only does creation exist to bring glory to Jesus Christ, everything created was created to accomplish His will. Oftentimes we get caught up in the fact that we're so busy. How many of y'all had a busy week last week? Everybody in here will tell you they had a busy week, whether or not they were watching TV and sitting on the couch or not. Everybody's going to say, man, I just had a busy week. I'm so tired. Well, oftentimes we get caught up in our own busyness, in our own selfishness, in our own desires, and we want to accomplish our own will and fill our life and our time with what we want. But growing closer to Jesus Christ will help us understand what the wisest man who ever lived understood. When King Solomon wrote, in chapter 16 of Proverbs, he wrote, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. You see, we can make all the plans that we want in our life. We can desire and want everything that we want, that we selfishly desire. But the truth of the matter is, God is actually going to dictate where we can go and what we're going to do, because He has a plan for us, and that plan for us is to accomplish His will. And everything that happens in this life, whether good or bad, is part of His plan to accomplish His will, because He is the one that sits on the throne. Amen. And I thank God each and every day that He is the one that sits on the throne. Because when Chris tries to sit on the throne, Chris screws things up. And if you're like Chris, if you try to sit on the throne and take Jesus out of His rightful place, you're liable to mess things up too. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just telling you the truth. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is that not only are all things created for Him and by Him, He is the glue that holds everything together. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. The New King James Version says, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. When I think of this, I think of Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, and I think of Him holding His hands out just like this, and everything that exists is in the cup of His hands, and there is nothing that can escape the cup of His hands. He is the one that is sitting there holding everything together, molding it just right for His purpose and for His will. When my daddy was living, some of you may have known my dad. When my daddy was living, he was a building contractor, but more so, he was a master carpenter. And I would watch and be mesmerized by the things that my dad could build. The way that he put things together with his hands, I tried, but I just couldn't do it like daddy. And I would watch him put things together like frames and cabinets and certain things. And what I would see and notice is that oftentimes he didn't use nails and he didn't use screws. And I would see him build this big, beautiful frame or this big, beautiful cabinet. And I would notice he would use some dowels. And then other than that, he would use Elmer's wood glue. And he would cut the top off of that thing just right. I tried forever to cut the top just like Daddy could cut it. And he could run that glue line and it was so smooth. And then he would put one piece on top of the other. And he would clamp it down. And I'm telling you, some of the things that I saw him build 20 years ago that he clamped down on that glue today is still stronger than anything that I have in my house. Was it the dowels? No. It was the glue. It was the glue that held it together. I like to say also it was the love of the carpenter for what he built. Or the love of the creator for the creation. And if you think about it, you are a creation of the Creator. And oftentimes this life will throw us curveballs. I know me personally, it seems like every time I wake up, it seems like a curveball is being thrown my way. Or for lack of better terms, maybe a wrong turn. Or something is coming my way, a circumstance or situation that is unfavorable or unpleasant that I don't want to go through. And sometimes I just feel like I'm falling apart, that I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make this decision. I don't know how I'm going to go this way or this far. And sometimes it just feels like I'm falling apart. But praise God that my faith is strong enough to realize that even though I may feel like I'm falling apart, Jesus Christ is holding me together. He is the glue that holds every single one of us together. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And He created us to fulfill His will for His glory. And He loves us so much, He's not going to let us fall apart. One of the greatest examples of that glue that I can think of is a story that was told by Louis Giglio many years ago. And some of you have heard the story that Louis Giglio told of Lamini. How many of you have heard that story? Some of you have heard it. If you've been in my class on Sunday night, you've heard it. Louis was at a conference and he was talking to a guy and he was telling him about his sermon, his next sermon. And the guy said, well, Louis, that's great and all. He said, Louis told him he was going to preach on Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. It says he holds all things together. And he said, Louis, that's great and all. Sounds good. And he said, but what's your left hook? And Louis said, I don't really have a left hook. He said, your left hook is what's going to grab everybody's attention. It's what's going to make them pay attention to you, man. He said, you got to have a left hook. He said, well, I just don't have one. He said, it's laminin, Louis. It's laminin. And Louis said, okay, it's laminin. He said, no, man, you got to understand it's laminin. He said, you got to see laminin. So Louis Googled laminin, and what he saw was, he saw that laminin was in the shape of a cross. Now let me tell you what this is. This guy that he was talking to was a molecular biologist. And he said, laminin is a self-adhesion molecule that holds all of the cells and all of the proteins and all of the molecules of your body together. It holds you together. Laminin is the actual glue that holds you together. And the Bible is true when it says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Because let me tell you something. The God of this universe, the creator of the world, the one who gave us Jesus Christ as our Savior, He put inside of our body a self-adhesion molecule that was in the shape of the cross at Calvary. And there are thousands of them inside your body that are holding you together. So when I say He physically holds us together, He physically holds us together. Amen? If you don't believe me, go look up laminin. That's the self-adhesion molecule that is holding every single person of humanity together. And it is in the shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Laminin. Look it up. I wouldn't lie to you. We're in the church. Laminate. It's laminate, Louis. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. Scripture says that in this life, we may actually have to suffer a little bit. But God is going to sustain us with His right hand. Not only does He say He's going to sustain us with His right hand, Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote, he said, because of our suffering in Christ, that we will be glorified with Christ. He goes on in Romans chapter 8 and he says, all good things come to those who love the Lord. All things good come to those who love the Lord. Jesus, He came to this earth. He was fully God and He was fully human. He died a horrible death on the cross to set us free from the burden of our sin. He gave us eternal life. He gave us abundant life here in history. And more so, when we know Him and we develop a relationship with Him and we get stronger in our relationship and we grow closer and closer and closer to Him, He is going to not only hold us together physically and mentally and emotionally, He will set us free from the things that bind us down, like addiction. He will free us from pain that holds us back. Every chain that has got us locked up so tight that we think we can't experience freedom, He can free us. He is the glue that holds us together, but He is also the one that sets us free. Amen? And the last thing I want to share with you this morning from what the Holy Spirit has put into my spirit to share with you is, because He created all things for His glory. Because He is the glue that holds it all together. That He should remain first place in everything. Jesus Christ should be first place in everything. My life's verse. I don't know what your life's verse is. I hope you have a life's verse. I hope you have a charge. If you don't, find one. But my life's verse comes in the next couple of chapters in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And that verse says, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's me. That's my life verse. We place Jesus Christ first because He has redeemed every single one of us on the cross at Calvary. His blood provides forgiveness. His resurrection gives us hope of an eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, it is all about Jesus. Jesus has to be first place. If you know Him and you have a relationship with Him, then every decision that is made in your life, every step that is taken by your body, every move that is made by you, your relationship with Jesus Christ will have precedence as you make these decisions and as you make these moves in your life. Jesus will come first, and what God wants will come first. No matter what the culture is trying to throw at you, no matter what your family is trying to say to you, no matter what sacrifice you may have to make, if Jesus is first, He comes first. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jesus Christ is first in your life. If you are a true Christ follower, then Jesus comes first. What your family says does not come first. What your job says does not come first. What the culture says does not come first. What society says does not come first. What Joe's book says does not come first. What Oprah says does not come first. Nothing comes first except the truth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You place Jesus first in your life. If you know that He created it all for His purpose and He's sitting there holding it all together, then He has to be first. Without regard to your financial well-being, without regard to your selfish wants, without regard to your desires, no matter what you feel, what God wants comes first. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, Jesus Himself says this in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Everything that you desire, if God thinks that you need it, He's going to give it to you. Seek Him first, and He is going to take care of His children. Why? I said it a while ago. Let me say it again. Because the Creator loves His creation. He loves you. Now, what does it look like if you place Jesus first? I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to be very brief with this. Jesus said in His own red letters, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." What does that mean? It means, yes, you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and all of your strength. You love your neighbor as yourself, amen? As a matter of fact, turn to your neighbor and say, "I love you." Now do it again to the other one on the other side that you don't love and say, "I love you too." You keep His commandments, and when you place Him first, you give Him priority. And you take His word seriously, and you trust Him fully, and you talk to Him constantly, and you thank Him continually, and you serve Him, and you obey Him always. Listen, folks. Where you devote most of your time, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, that is where your priorities lie. And a lot of us in here, we need to re-examine our priorities. And I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Every one of us need to re-examine our priorities and make sure that we understand that as Christ followers, Jesus has to come first. You know, we live in a world that doesn't put Jesus first. And we live in a world that is going to try to pull people and tear people away from the truth of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That is why it's so important for every single one of us who call ourselves true Christ followers to reevaluate our lives every morning when we wake up and say, "Today, my first priority is to give thanks to my Lord and to walk in His goodness and His love and His mercy and His grace. And my first priority is going to be to live for Him." We've got to make sure that we re-examine our priorities and make sure that Jesus is first. And I hope that what I'm saying to you right now, I pray that what I'm saying to you right now will bring conviction upon your heart. And I hope that when I shut up, and I'm going to in just a minute. I know some of y'all are hungry. I'm getting kind of hungry too. Who's buying lunch? Ain't nobody raise their hand. I hope that when this is over, that you'll think to yourself, "You know what? I've got to re-examine my priorities. And I've got to make sure that Jesus is first." And I hope that you will bow your head, and I hope that you will say, "Lord God, forgive me for what was past. Today, right now, and everything from this moment, I surrender to you, and you are first." Surrender to Jesus. You'll be so glad you did. When we truly place Jesus as first place in our lives, things become much clearer. Without Jesus in first place in our life, it's kind of like looking through glasses that are smudged up. But not only will things become so much clearer. You'll get what really you desire in this life. And truly what we all desire is, we all desire peace. And the only way to get that is through Jesus. Let me ask you. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the Creator? Do you know that He created it all for His glory? Do you know that He holds it all together? If so, today, make the choice to make sure that He is first. Surrender yourself to Him. Today. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You today, Father, and we just thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You have given us a Word from Your heart to the heart of Your children. And Father, I pray that as we ponder today's message, I pray, Father, that we will realize just who You are. I pray that we will realize that You are a Father who loves us. That You are a Creator who loves His creation. I pray, Father, that we realize that everything that has been created is for Your glory. That includes us. And when we feel like we're falling apart, You are holding us together. And I pray, Father, that everyone within the sound of my voice will make a decision today to place You first. We'll make a decision today, Father, to surrender to You. Surrender their entire life, their entire existence, their entire being. Surrender it to being a truthful Christ follower. Father, I pray if there's someone here who questions their salvation, who doesn't truly know that if they have been, whether or not they have been saved or not, I pray that today they'll make the decision to follow Jesus, to ask forgiveness for their sins, repent of those sins, and follow Jesus. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for being so good to us and gracious to us and merciful to us. We love You, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today as we... I'm glad when I was praying I didn't fall off this thing. Because I was kind of getting excited and hyped up and everything. But as we sing our song of invitation, the altar is open. If you need to pray, if today is the day that you say, you know what? I've been letting all this other stuff cloud my judgment. I've been letting all this stuff, other stuff come in front of who I truly am as a Christ follower. Then why not just get on your knees and say, I surrender. You don't have to do it up here. You can do it in your seat. But make sure before you leave here, your business with God is done. So that when you walk out of here, you won't walk in the same way, carrying and holding on to the same burdens that you walked into here with. Let's stand and worship together.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O
praise God Almighty. And I pray that today as you leave out of here, you would think about the goodness of God and the love of God. And I pray that you would take that with you. Hey, invite people to come to church here at Trinity. Great things are happening here. We are worshiping the Lord. And all of us together are growing together in our faith. Amen. Join us tonight, 5 o'clock, for our small groups. What a great time. Exciting time for our church. It's exciting as we grow. Yeah. Finance committee meeting at 4 o'clock. Anything else? Anything else? Did I miss anything? Okay, deacons meeting Tuesday night. Anything else? All right, good. Y'all, God loves you, and I love you too. Praise God. Let's sing as we get out of here.